Blog Talk Radio.
Just gotta get some things off my chest. Tough times, I hope y'all holding up. We'll be alright, cause we always is. But I'm feeling like this.
How many mothers have to cry? How many brothers gotta die? How many more times? When they're killing mine, they'll try to justify. Oh, each and every time, playing in the park, taking you a jog, sitting on the couch in your own house. Never seen a matter what we do. You think we don't matter what we do. You got a problem cause the city on fire. But you're quiet when niggas die. Let the soul up out their body that we bury. With God now you no longer have to worry. It's so hard to sing these words out loud. All these beautiful, precious black lives lost in the name of senseless white pride. Tears falling from us. How many mothers have to cry? How many brothers gotta die? How many more times? How many more times? How many more? Your rage when my people die. We ain't slaves, let my people fly. Now it's time to watch my people rise. How many mothers have to cry? How many brothers gotta die?
Yeah. You're now tuned in to GEI Radio Sunday Talk. I am your host, Tone. Got a co-host with me, Jay. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, fam? How you doing?
Just chilling. We got a special guest today joining us, brother Troy X. Is you with us?
Yes, sir. Peace, brother.
How you doing?
Peace, Brother Troy.
I'm strong.
Peace.
Thank you for asking. How's everything?
Everything's going good. And last but not least, we got Jonathan. Jonathan, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, everybody?
Peace. I'm going to jump right into it. I got a couple questions, and I want to get some feedback from you guys. Of course, by now, I'm pretty sure we all know that the night before last, was it last night or night before last? Another black man then fell victim to the police. So my first question to you guys, and I'll let Brother Troy start first, is will it stop?
Yes, sir. First and foremost, man, thank you all for permitting me with the opportunity to talk to your listening audience and welcoming on your show. And God willing, I pray that I be of great service to you and your listening audience. The question you ask is, will it stop? No. Justice or injustice starts the fire, justice will put it out. So until justice is given, we'll see these type of acts all over the country, and particularly America, but truthfully throughout the world. Proper justice must be administered that will quell the spirit or quell the violence that you see being perpetrated, being done throughout America and throughout the world. But justice, as Thomas Jefferson says, he trembled for his country when he reflected that God is just and his justice will not sleep forever. So it's who we see now is the rising up of people who've been asleep under the brutal oppression and systematic racism and injustice that we see in America.
So true.
Jay.
Yes, sir.
Give us a little insight on what you think.
I have to agree with Brother Terrence X. You know, until there's a price to pay for killing black lives, they'll continue to do so. You know, I look at the police department. You know, they grew out of the slave patrols of back in the right after during the slave movement. So their whole attitude is that we're looked on as property and not human beings and not people. And when you have that notion in your brain and it's been taught to you and exposed to you and reinforced through our entertainment, through our socialization as black people in this world, white folks don't see you as a human being. So guess what? When they apprehend you or whatever the case may be, they're going to use the full force of the law and of other things to keep you down. So until we're seen as human beings and not property and not chattel, even though we're in 2020 right now, that's the thing right there. Are we human beings to them? And we're not. And the thing about it, white folks grow up with this throughout generations and they're not seen as that. So they're kind of affected by racism in that particular aspect also. It's a sickness. You know, they don't even know why they hate us. You know, so truthfully, it really happens when we have legislation in there that penalizes them for harming a person of color or a person of, you know, maybe of a you know, in terms of, I know that right now it's all black lives matter movement when it comes to, you know, sexuality and all that stuff too. But we have to understand is that legislation and taking away of their rights to be free at the same time too will make them stop this thing. But there's no loss to them, you know. So that's how I kind of see it.
Jonathan.
Well, my answer is no. Black oppression can be discussed and even addressed. But one thing that will never be rooted out of mankind is hatred. You can't root out hatred. It's impossible to scan everyone's heads and hearts to know what people got inside of them. Where, you know, let's say they do all this stuff for police reform, and let's say 99.9% of the police department is reformed. There's going to be one individual, you know, like the one 2 days ago. You don't know what's in that person. You don't know who that person is until they stand in front of you and pull that trigger. So because of that, you know, racism and oppression, that's all a direct seed of hatred. And that's something that you're just not going to root out of mankind. We're talking about, you know, the police against, you know, African-American black folk, you know, white against black. But the bottom line root of hatred knows no color, knows no boundary, you know. And again, where you can address certain things and even make laws and rules or whatever. What you can't address is the basic composition of a man. Like walking down the block, you know, all the people that you see, which one of them walking with hatred in their heart? Which one of them feel that way? Which one of them is the one that's capable of pulling that trigger, of doing these actions? How would you know? You know what I mean? So even though I think there are laws that are being passed and will be passed, and I think there are a lot of things that are being done, and I think that is dope, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, racism has existed for thousands upon thousands of years and will continue to exist, you know. So ultimately the answer is unfortunately no.
So my next question would be, because it's stated that a lot of the Klan, you know, a lot of the Klan members took off their hoods and became officers. So how do we change, like, the police stations? And, you know, because here's the thing, we can't sit back. Like, we can't sit back and just say that, okay, it's hatred, it's going to be around, that's what it is. It's, we have to do something, you know. And me, I don't trust this government. So, well, you know, voting works. Yeah, voting works. But at the same time, we're still putting in the same people that don't care for it. It's just a lesser evil. So I guess my question is it time for us as black, as a black community, black race, to separate ourselves from this government? Brother Troy, I'll let you go first.
Yes, sir. That's been our teachings in the Nation of Islam. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad championed that cause. Separation is the solution, not segregation. Segregation or separation is the separation of two equal parties. Segregation is a inferior and a superior. We don't want that. But separation. When you have separation, then the race problem between black and white is no longer there. If you have any problem, it's between black and black. So this is not something that wise people don't do. Anytime one may be a high offender of the law and he's in prison, then he's separated from max or from regular population. He has nothing to lose. That is the anecdote that is used with two warring parties. When you have people, a wife and a husband and wife, and they can't get along, separation is the solution to that answer. And then there's some compensation due to the practice or ill practice that one has done to another. So that's why solution to help do away with the black and white dilemma that we are dealing with in America and truthfully throughout the world. And we're coming face to face with the reality of them every day. Now, I'd like to say this before, or real quickly rather. One of our biggest problems is we don't know the nature in which we're dealing with, meaning these people. And whenever we do not know the nature in which we're dealing with, we can't handle it, and our ignorance will become our downfall. It's like into you or I, and we see a snake. You know, some snakes are poisonous, and some snakes are non-poisonous. But if I don't know the nature of that, I pet that snake every time, I'm going to get bit. You may have a flower. Some flowers require water, some don't require water. And I give it water. If I don't know the nature of what I'm dealing with, then my ignorance will become my downfall or the destruction of that particular object. So likewise, we don't realize the nature of Caucasians and what we're dealing with, and our ignorance has become our downfall because we think the same nature that we have, they have. And some say that we all bleed. Well, you have many fruits. They're fruits, but they're not the same. An apple is not like an orange is not like an apple. An apple requires a different sunlight, a different soil to grow. An orange requires a different sunlight, a different soil to grow. So nature teaches us valuable lessons. And lastly, I'd like to say this on that part. that everything in nature has a natural enemy. So if everything in nature has a natural enemy, we got to ask ourselves, who is the natural enemy of God? And if we are the people of God, who is that natural enemy?
Jay,
you know, this is a
you, Jay, you
this
got
is very interesting. This. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello? Yeah, this is very interesting. I think that what Brother Terrence X said is right on point, but I have to verify a little bit because I'm sorry, Brother Troy X.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought it was Terrence. I'm sorry, brother. Yeah, what Brother Troy said was right on point. I just have to skew this a little bit because we live. Okay, we can begin to separate, but you still have to deal with the overall global culture. And I think that what we need to do is definitely be a little more cohesive in our relationships with people of the diaspora around the globe and how we do economics, how we do thought, how we do processes of trying to have solutions to our problems, but we can't separate ourselves from the global culture. So we can become more fortified, but we still have to exist within this global culture from a financial standpoint as well as, you know, from a spiritual standpoint too, and even a social standpoint. But I think what we need is more cohesiveness and respect, you know, that we have for each other. Like I told somebody on Facebook recently, I said, listen, black cops who are in police departments, they have to understand they cannot act like white cops. If they act like white cops, they will be hung out to dry, period. So why not go with a different thought pattern when you're dealing with people of color and not trying to act like them? Because you will be crucified better because there's racism within the department also. You know, so I think that we have to know that we cannot be like our oppressor. Don't try to be like them because they're animalistic in nature. You understand? And they've gotten everything by violence in this world. We are loving people. We're people of the sun. We don't need to do things like them. And we can't because of the color of our skin and with the where we come from. Now, I'm not just saying we're perfect because we're not. We do things to each other. But I think that we need to understand that. Why don't we take it a step higher and act a certain way that's above? You know, you crush people who are, like I love with the Ku Klux Klan, those guys are cowards. Why put a hood on? Let me know that you hate me, and let me see your face. You understand? So we have the upper hand, and we realize our power. We do, because we're people from the Most High and from people of the sun. So, and I really think that we have to be able to cohesively come together and deal with this global economy as it is, or global culture as it is.
Jonathan, it's on you.
I guess my pause is where I agree. I guess it just hit my head with a question. Separate from is clear. Separate to would be the issue that would that we would be presented with, meaning do I think it's clear that, you know, we should, you know, separate from this system and these people? Okay. But when we separate from, where are we separating to? Because we are still in this country and we still are people that haven't, who's going to lead that? How are we going to galvanize that? Like Brother Troy's been talking, right? I agree, right? But now, who's going to lead that? You know, we all say, okay, black and brown people, we need to separate. Now, how are we going to be set up? You know, and that's always been my, not issue, more of a frustration, is that we don't, like, It's like we don't, for us to separate, we have to be together. And we have to, like, you know, if it's this one here, he don't want to deal with that one. This one or that one. Like, it's just, you know, so, but we all want to be away from them, but we don't want to be with each other. That's the part that confuses me. But to answer the question, yes, I do see a need for separation, but I think before we can adequately separate, we need to integrate ourselves. Because, for instance, you know, the nation, there are people of brown and black skin that don't want nothing to do or even listen to anything that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is teaching. But they're black and brown people. You know, stuff like that. You know, and then we have our wide diaspora here of black and brown people with all of these different beliefs and understandings. But and each one wants to separate on their own terms. You know, so I think that part of discussing separating from needs to be discussed separate to. And I think that's the part that's never really adequately addressed.
Well, that leads me to my next question, which would be the teaching. You know what I'm saying? Like the same way we was taught over 400 years to, you know, be slaves and white man the superior and all that. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It's going to take time. No matter who's doing the teaching, it's going to take time. But we have to start that separation. And I asked this like 2 weeks ago, and I said, is it time for us to create our own party? I think as far as, you know, in politics, like, you know, I'll answer this last. I'll let y'all go ahead and answer. Is it time to create our own party, our own all black party, as far as politics goes? Brother Troy, I'll let you go.
Yeah, very good statements and thoughts. It is time to do that. I'd like to say something relative to your previous question. Our solution as black people, we always got to understand, if we don't already understand it, with the next thing we don't, is that our solution is divine. And there's scripture and universal law, but in particular we'll do scripture right now. It says, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins and receive not of her plagues. That's a mindset we have to come out of America. We got to have vision. There's a saying that say, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, all of us know this, and maybe some of our listening audience know this, we already separate. You can go in any country, or pardon me, any state, and say there's a black neighborhood and there's a white neighborhood. They got statistics that show that we're already separate but unequal. There's a book by a Caucasian by the name Andrew Hacker. We ain't familiar with him. He has a book, Separate but Unequal. They're saying that we're more separated, segregated today than we were during the time of Martin Luther King. Statistics showing this. We know this, income-wise and otherwise. So it's a matter of understanding that everything moves in steps, stages, and degrees. America's foundation was built. They separated from the dregs of Europe, was sent here. Pakistan and India divided their country up. They supplanted or implanted Israel in Palestine. So separation in every little town, you have Asian town or little Greek town and what have you. So there's models already set there as precedents for us to do. We just got to believe that we can do it. Now, politics has a role, but politics are not the solution. There's a bridge to get us to the next stage. If they're used wisely, if politics is used wisely, we must have an enlightened self-interest to understand what and who we're voting for in unity. And as Frederick Douglass said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never was and it never will. But that demand must be backed by power to get what we want. And yes, if we do that, then politics can be a very useful tool to get us states of our own. You have a lot of states now that have black governors. And if they are positioned properly with the people, they got a large black population under their governance, then there's time for separation right there, or eyes for separation. It's going to take some teaching, like many of us said, because the scripture says, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. But one of the things that this uprising is bringing to light is that we're seeing more and more every day the reality of the necessity of separating or die or death. So this helps the teaching. Unfortunately, and I say that in closing, that God is not prodigal. He wastes nothing. So even in death, there's life. And we see the birth of people, consciousness, due to the death of the brother in Minneapolis and Breonna Taylor and others who have been killed in this most recent killing that we know of, is the one in Atlanta. That helps to bring life to the vision that many of us are talking about.
Jay, what you think?
So your question was about us having our own separate political party, correct?
Yes.
Well, all right. I could see that happening majority wise. Yes. I mean, if you look at the current political system right now, where, you know, Joe Biden understands that his basis is black women in the Democratic Party overall. Black women have a stronghold in that, and what they're saying and stuff like that. So it is a possibility for us to have an all black party. But if we want true power and true change, you may have to have others in there also at the same time too, because there's 40 million of us in this country, right? Right. So there's 40 million of us in this country, and we're looking at having change. We can have change amongst local and state levels. But if you look at national levels now, you'll need more people to participate within your mostly people of color party. I mean, honestly, if we're looking to really kind of separate from this country, then we have to get our own land and have our own country. That's basically what I'm seeing. But in the current state now, within the political system we have in the United States right now, you will need others in order to build some sort of coalition to move forward the people of color's, you know, preamble to having equality in this country. So the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are full of crap to me. I mean, they really are. They only react when we start to speak out, you know, and have these, I don't call them riots, I call them uprisings. You know, we start to attack property and stuff like that, we get their attention, because that's what they're all about. Not about people, about property. And the main goal of the police department, if you look at players of the public, is to protect property. So I have to say yes, that we can have our own party, but it would have to be with others, you know, in addition with some progressive whites, in addition to having Native Americans, Latinos and stuff like that, in order to create a strong power hold. And we can see that on the state and local level. And any kind of national thing now, you're going to have to get more people on it. And this is when we look at the human aspect of what we're talking about, right? It's human beings. Like, the reason why that George Floyd video affected a lot of people, because people saw that and they saw an actual killing on tape. And they saw this man suffocate his life, and that affected the human aspect of it. And as I spoke with Jonathan before, these times have changed. You have young people now of all races who don't, you know, I'm 50 years old, so I'm around a certain time where you experience a whole lot of not what's happening now with the young people and social media and stuff. So our black children have friends of other races. You understand? And they were like, oh my God, I knew it was like that, da, da, da. So they're learning stuff. So you have now an understanding of, like, there's a human being that was affected by this. You know, so I think there's a possibility to build a coalition of majority people of color, of black people, that can really make some change in this country. But, you know, you have to be consistently on the next of the 1% that want to keep it down. And white supremacy is real. They really want to keep, they have everything, all these stuff that we see that's happening now, the systems that are built to keep black communities down, like Brother X was talking about, that you're in these communities that they are separated already, but guess what? This guy's getting a certain amount of money for his community. This guy's another amount. So you have Nassau County and you have Harlem. Well, Harlem has been changing now, but still, if you look at those two things, and if one's white, one's black, their tax bracket, they're giving more money to the government so they have more services. Now you have people who are struggling, who are affected by discrimination and racism and sexism and all that stuff, where they don't have the same proper services. So we have to understand how systems work at the same time. You know, and it does us to be impacted, us to be involved in politics. We have to vote, but we have to educate ourselves at the same time also and have control of that. Right. If we don't have control of that, then we're going to be losing. Because I know a lot of black folks that have no type of trust within the system, understandably so. But that's how you play the game. Look at the movie Distinguished Gentleman by Eddie Murphy, and it talks about how it's about PACs and money and lobbyists and all that stuff. If we're able to understand how that works, we'll be able to understand how we can move the agenda, our agenda, which is the human agenda, into the forefront where we can have change. But it's not going to happen without a fight. White supremacists are not going to not have this without a fight or without some bloodshed. We have to understand that. We're seeing it right now. And over in England right now, we have folks, you know, they're protecting their whiteness against the people who are justifiably protesting against some of the statues that are up there. So they're going to fight. We have to understand that that's what the battle is going to be drawn at the same time too. But the power of the vote is necessary. We've got to educate ourselves. We got to really talk about these things and see how we can, because there are people who have been doing this work for a very long time who prepared for this particular time. You know, they prepared for this time that this is going to happen. Now we have everybody's involved. So, you know, it's the perfect time for that. But I do see that we can have a party that's very, very concentrated black that's leading the way in America.
Jonathan, what you think?
No.
That we can't have one?
No. Not a political party. You're talking about a political party in their government. That's not separating. That's asking for a seat at their table. And if we had a quote-unquote political party in their government, then that political party would be subject to the same things that the existing political parties are subject to. So, no.
Okay. So that leads me.
She's talking about
complete
revolution, complete revolution, basically, and destroying of the current system.
That current system wasn't made for us in the first place. It's not our system.
Right.
Well, this government is crumbling before our eyes. This government is crumbling right now before our eyes. And, you know, you really have to read between the lines and look what's going on again. Like all y'all said, you know, you have to study. You have to be informed. You know what I'm saying? You can't depend on this news. You know what I'm saying? That's their system. So as people, when we learn, we have to teach. A lot of times people learn, but they don't ever teach. So it stops there. So I think, like I always say, moving forward, anything that I learn, I want to pass it down to the next brother, and I hope you pass it down to the next brother, so we all be informed. Like you was talking about, Jay, as far as Harlem, it's because a lot of those tenants and a lot of those people in Harlem are not informed or have the know-how or knowledge to get those grants and those, you know, loans or whatever it is to keep their properties. So they're not informed. Nobody's ever taught them, or they haven't had, you know, took the time out to teach themselves. So that's why it's so easy for them to come in and take our properties and take our land, and we just take it.
But Tone, it's not only that.
Go ahead.
They have systems in place to prevent. Like if I go to the bank for a loan, I'm a black business. They will say, nah, not right now, but they will give it to the white person. That's a known fact that there's discrimination within the financial system, even though you're trying to do better for yourself. that we can't get these going. Look at what happened with the PPE. You know, that was when we had the COVID, when the COVID was going on. Black businesses did not get most of that money. You know, so the system is even designed to keep you down, even if you're trying to do it the right way. So, yeah, it's also about information, because a lot of people are not reading, but it's also about prevention, too.
But see, that's the point. It wasn't a black handout. It, you, again, you're questioning why are you not getting a fair shake from the same system that was designed to dominate you in the first place. So, of course, black businesses wasn't getting that money. It wasn't designed for you in the first place. That's why my thought goes back to what Brother Troy was saying. You know, again, separate. You know, that bailout money came from the same government that caused the situation in the first place. The same government that oppresses you, now you expect bailout money? Nah.
So my next question would be, and again, start with Brother Troy, is what's the solution? What's the solution to black people moving forward? We know it's going to take time. We know it's not going to be an overnight thing, but what's the solution? What's some of the steps that we can start taking to separate ourselves?
Yes, sir. I want to highlight again, reflecting on your previous question, but I say like this: the atom is very small, but it's very powerful. Dynamite is very small, but it's very powerful. So our unity will solve 95% of our problems. So teaches the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. A clear sign of that, I must reemphasize, a clear sign of that in 1995, not the ones after that, which were magnificent as well, but 1995, the Million Man March, that is written out of history books. Government did not back us. Government did not support us. But it was the unity that black men came due to call of 1 million, nearly 2 million came. Nothing of ill actions that was conducted on that day, nothing but peace, which is a sign of what we can do. And it was on a Monday. At that particular time, I was in the feds. The feds, anybody who ever been in the feds prison, know that at 4 o'clock count, you stand by the bed. You don't lay down. You got to stand up. But on that day, they killed us wherever we were, because it was the unity backed by the power of God that allow us to do whatever we want. The Jews are very small in number, but they're unified, and they get what they want. With this sense of unity that we see, a sense of unity what we see with the cry of the Black Lives Matter movement and whatnot, we don't have to get into particulars of who, what, and who started and things of that nature, but just the cry, the narrative. You see businesses genuflecting that previously would not budge because of the thought they may be next, which is a sign of our unity. If we were united, we got doctors, we got lawyers, every field of human endeavor, we got it amongst our people. So if we unify that along with the $1.3 trillion that say we go in and come out the black community, then we can begin to solve the problems that we're looking for them to solve. We can solve them ourselves. So it starts with a teaching. The greatest knowledge of all knowledge is the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self. They are akin to one another. And the greatest knowledge, or that knowledge of God, reveals the knowledge of the devil. And I say that because one of the key components that's missing out of our solution is the very thing that we believe brung us into existence, which is God. So if God is the maker of us, it's like a person who may have a car, and you have a problem with that car and you need that car to be fixed, you go to the maker of that car, and that maker of that car has a solution to fix that car. White folks is not a nigger. They make, excuse my expression, they make what you see, niggas. But God, if properly understood, and that's key, can make us and bring into reality what we need. And our biggest problem, generally speaking, is that we believe that divine intervention came in every other time period. And you see some of the older folks talking about when Moses and this prophet or that prophet or this wise one came or these great ones in Egypt and whatnot. But we don't think that God will raise somebody in our midst today. And that's a key obstacle that if we can overcome, our problems will be much, much, much more less than what you see happening with us today. Our problems will be just about solved. So that's the position I'm going to take on.
Jay, what you got? What's some of the solutions?
I think, you know, Brother Troy actually hit right on it. Our unity is what is going to be really important. Basic love, unity, and a lot of respect that we have for each other as our people, as we see each other. I mean, any of us could have been George Floyd or any number, or Breonna Taylor. You know, understanding that we have a common bond, that we come from a great land that was pillaged and raped to create this world, and you know that we have to understand our history. You know, understanding who we are will kind of fortify us in relationship, you know, with God at the same time. You know, we are powerful within ourselves. I mean, we walk into a room, you know, some people say we may affect it in a certain way, maybe negative, but no, we bring love from the heart from that. And I think that, you know, the first thing is that the level of love and respect we have for each other, which will help to move along that. And then we start to talk about building. You know, I'm in business with some very good people who are, you know, who look like me, and I love them truly, truly I do, but beyond business. But once we have that respect for ourselves, then now we can start to kind of build. And, you know, a lot of us hate ourselves and hate the people that we maybe serve and look like. And that's a whole symptom
true.
Of what racism does, you know. And
very true.
So you can hate your fellow man or woman who's just like you. And even with the police department, I knew a cop that was darker than me who hated the people he was serving. You know, so his vitriol was put upon them anytime he had to encounter them. And I had to pray for that brother because he had self-hate. So, you know, I'm dead serious about this. If we have love and respect for each other as a people, we'll be able to move forward in anything that we do. Because from us, everybody else. Africa has every characteristic in the world, okay? The slanted eyes, the skinny noses. You can find that all over the globe. And from that emanated all people as the continent separated and as evolution evolved. You know, so we are the originator. And I'm not saying we're better. No, we're not. It's just the truth. Out of darkness comes light. So, you know, it's love, man. It really is about love and having that respect for your fellow man, fellow woman, you know, that we can start to move the thing forward for change. So that's the basis of it. Then the other stuff, you know, we can get intricate and discuss that, but it starts from about love and respect.
Awesome. Jonathan?
I hear what you gentlemen are saying, but to me, it don't start with love. It starts with teaching. You can't love what you don't understand. You can't love what you don't know. And we always talk about how we don't know the white man, the white man don't know us. But I see a lot of we don't know each other. So there has to be teaching. There has to be some changing of the mindset of what do you think when you walk down the block and you see another black man. What's that first thought in your mind? Any of us, you know what I mean? Walking down the block, You see another black man. What's the first thing that you see? What's the first thing that you think? That we discuss solutions, but we never discuss the roots of problems. And there has to be teaching that will enable us to love each other in the correct ways to be able to create the solutions that we need. If we're able to do that, then we don't need a political party. We'll be united. And that has to cover the breadth and the width of our diaspora, which is so broad. Because I was just thinking while you two brothers were talking, and I was sitting here like, okay, let's say, you know, we decide, you know, that we're going to have our own everything. Again, it just keeps regurgitating in my mind. Who's going to lead the way? Every group of black peoples has some type of leadership represented. Are we going to be able to get together? Are we going to be able to agree and discuss? How's that going to work? It has to start with educating our people, educating our black men, educating and teaching how to effectively wipe out all this brainwashing in our people, where we can see each other and think and feel the same. Then you get that agape type love. Then you get that love. Then you get your solution. But until I can look at my brother, who I've never seen before, and think and feel for him as he thinks and feels for me, then it's not going to happen.
I think we caught up on a leader. I don't think it's one person. I don't think it's about having a leader. I think it's about just changing the mindset. Something as simple as, like, for instance, right now, right? Like, what's going on? Like we said, we've seen a lot of young people, all colors, rise up right now. But one of the things that I've seen in this very moment that I haven't seen in, probably all my life is how black people are willingly now searching and wanting to buy black, support black, whether they know the person, whether they're in that group, whether they're whatever, long as it's black-owned, people want to support it. I think that, like I said, it's not going to be an overnight thing. It's not going to be something where one man says something and everybody's just going to run and follow it. Like, it's not going to be like that. I think that we have to build off this momentum that we have now. I don't think that was the right word, momentum, but build off the connection that we have right now and move forward. We might not get a chance to see the full change, but we can be the start of it. You know what I'm saying? We can be the start of it. So we have to start somewhere. I don't think we need one leader or like one person. I think it's going to be a whole bunch of different black groups and, you know, that do different things over here. Then we got a black group that maybe do something on the West Coast, a black group that do something on the East Coast, a black group that do something on in the South or whatever. I think it's going to take all of us putting our hands in. And like I said, when we learn, we teach. I always felt like, I tell my pops this all the time, I always felt like the leaders that we had in the, you know, 50s and 60s, and I felt like it was so much focus on them that we never took it to somebody else. So when those guys were gone, everybody else just kind of went their separate ways instead of getting the teaching. When we look at North Korea, when we look at South Korea, when we look at China or Japan or any of these other countries, like, soon as one goes, the next one in line is either the same or worse. You know, it's like, okay, you fall, it's like fall right in line. But with us, when one of our you know, leaders is taken out, it's like the entire organization is gone. So I think that's something that we really, really have to focus on, learning, informing ourselves, and passing it on, and making sure that we definitely pass it on. Like, that's the most important thing. That's why it's generations and generations of what we have now, because none of that knowledge was passed on. We just got lazy at some point. You know, I don't know what that gap was, but it's the separation that we have from a 40-year-old to a 20-year-old is crazy. And hopefully this will bring us together and we can come up with something to move forward. My last question, because I want to get this in before we got to go. I see we got like 10 minutes. I want to get your answer. Maybe America is not the answer. Should we be trying to get back to Africa? Those that want to go. Brother Troy, I'll let you go ahead.
Okay. One of the beautiful things about the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the guidance of Minister Farrakhan, we are taught that Islam is mathematics and mathematics is Islam. That means peace, of course, Islam. But in order to build, everybody has to be entrusted or knowledgeable with some sort of mathematics. In order to bring fractions into a whole number, you know we must find the least common denominator. And that's how you make a people whole. So you got to ask yourself, what is the least common denominator of us? And then you begin to bring that which is fractured or fragmented into whole. Now, the brother spoke very clear, all you all, really. But we are taught divinely as well. It says, how can you love God whom you never seen and hate your brother whom you see every day? So the proper love of self, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, every time I'm looking at a black man, I'm looking at God. So if you're looking at divine, how would you treat divine? That's the teachings that will help us to solve the self-hatred problem that exists. So, Brother Tone, as you may mention, which is very key as well, is that every time someone is killed, a leader is killed, the organization breaks apart. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, one of the most admirable things about this government is that it's rooted in principle opposed to personality. That the president or any president that died or was killed today, the government won't stop. It will continue on because of the principles opposed to personality. And we need to rise in principles opposed to personality. Now,
absolutely.
God, in his magnificent way, and when we talk about the knowledge of self, we got to just not look historically, but we must look biologically as well as genetically. Every person that has a body has a what? A head to govern that body. What does that teach us? That the head is involved, but they don't boast or fight against one another. And white folks always knew how to destroy the head and scatter the body. That does not mean that you're not a boss or a governor in your own way, but it's always chosen to be that way. If you look at this celestial system, you have a sun governing the nine planets. So this is the design of God. Every time a leader or wise one came, you had a man or a woman chosen to lead. But that don't mean that he should lead at the suppression of others. But he leads to bring about the God gifts that's lying dormant in others. So when I see you, Tone, and the rest of the brothers, you're operating as a God. reflecting off of the principles of God under the one God. And you don't bump into one another because you're in your own orbit, like the planets. The planets are what they are, but they're operating in their own orbit without friction. We can do the same. But we just have to grow in a greater knowledge of self and understanding of the time and what must be done. And your question, I just want to say that, and your question, can you repeat it again, Brother Tone?
It was, should we be trying to get back to Africa? Should we give up on America and get back to Africa?
Yeah, thank you. Africa is in trouble as well. Of course, Africa has a lot of land there that if we chose, but if we can have it on both sides. You got Israel can have a dual citizenship on both sides. But I think the most important thing we need to get out of the mindset of a Eurocentric mentality that's causing us, because if we go into Africa with the same type of mind, we'll be like most African countries, depending on the colonial master to feed, clothe, and shelter them.
Absolutely.
We'll be like a lot of the African countries that are the same, but due to borders being set up, they're at odds with one. Why is Eritrea and Ethiopia at odds with one? Why does Sudan have to be divided? Why is Nigeria, which is the most populous, suffering internally because a colonial master has infiltrated and they're operating off their mind? So there's a scripture that says, if you can control a man, Carter G. Woodson said, if you can control a man's thinking, you don't have to worry about his actions. And so if you know the saying on the street, you can take a person out of the projects, but you can't take the projects what? Out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, our mind has to be totally changed wherever we go. And if our mind is changed, our actions will reflect our thinking. And so lastly, it says, behold, I make all things new. So we have to have a new curriculum, a new educational system, a new judicial system, a new political system, everything new. And we got the expertise and the backing of God to bring everything new. We creative, man. And y'all know this. I'm speaking to the choir. Mm. But every invention that we see was made by whom? Us. Thank we wasn't given the credit for it, but we did it. Can we begin to do that for ourselves? I think we can. Unity will allow us under the proper understanding of the supreme being. And that's not saying you be a Muslim, I'm a Christian, or you be a nationalist or pan-Africanist. Under the proper understanding of universal law, universal governments, we can make this happen. So we don't necessarily have to go to Africa. But if Africa got a place for us to go where we can govern ourselves and set up a kingdom of righteous principles and whatnot, then we're good. And we can have dual, because some people are so tired because of our sweat and blood that they said, man, I done sweat and blood been given in America. Let me have it on both sides. So that's fine. Thank you.
Jay, it's on you. Should we?
Okay. Brother Troy, just thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on the show. I love your words, and they speak so much truth. And what you just said there is absolutely on point. We definitely need to be in Africa as another option, another choice, or being going back to the homeland. But we can't go with the same European disgusting ways that they govern people and how they treat people. You know, unfortunately, some of them are very, very vicious, and they use economics and oppression to get people to do what they want to do. We can't go with that same thing. We are, like I said before, we're people of the sun. We're people of love. And John hit it right on the nose. Teaching combination with love will create unity. If we have those two things, we can build anywhere on this globe because we're present everywhere on this globe. You know, so we have to understand that is the key. So in your question, Tone, absolutely, that's definitely one of our options, that we don't only have to be here. But, you know, my parents are from Trinidad by way of Sierra Leone. You know, we didn't really start here in the States, you know, but I am, you know, I'm not leaving here because of what the hell they're doing. I'm going to stay here and build and fight, because the reason why this country is so rich is because of the amount of free labor they had to get a head start on everybody else. And we have to understand that. They didn't get this fair and square. You understand? Now, some countries did probably have indentured servitude and slavery and stuff like that, but not at the level that this country had it. So you're not going to kick me out. I'm going to stay and fight, but I know that going to Africa is a good option too. Are we still on?
Yes, sir, I'm on.
Yeah, we might have lost tone momentarily, but so to answer the question, I find it interesting, you know, when people talk about, you know, should we, you know, go back to Africa, and should that be a quote unquote option? The fact that we would, you know, make it an option, to me, is a showing of the a lot of misunderstandings. But let me just say this: we already did that. See, a lot of people don't, but you know, I'm thankful for the Morehouse of Education. There's a country called Liberia in Africa that literally we created for black people here who wanted to go home. Yeah, that the first president of Liberia, a man named Joseph Roberts, he was the first freeborn black man with wealth in Virginia, went to Liberia and wound up becoming the president out there. And Liberia, we founded that 1847. In 1847. So, and if I just look real quick, because unfortunately it's been a long time since I've been in college, but the United States recognized Liberia's independence on February 5th, 1862. So since 1862, we've had a country liberated for us to go to. So we've had that. Now, my answer is kind of a blend of both the previous answers before me. So I agree with Jay where, you know, we built this country. This country's wealth, this country, everything that represents this country was built by us. All those government buildings, that White House was built by black men, you know. And we definitely, all that free labor and all the toil that we put into this country, for all of us just to up and leave, to me is like crazy. You know, it's like you built it and then you just walk away. But just to let people know, because people always talk about that, we did that already. And I don't understand, you know, if everybody wanted to do that, it's Liberia's been there. And that literally is the country that was that we founded for us.
You know what, Jonathan, I think that I'm sorry, Dad. Hello?
Tom?
Go ahead, Jeff. Yeah.
No, I was just saying that. Yeah, I can hear you.
Go ahead. I mean, well, was it Jay or was it Brother Troy that had a response to what I just said?